If you'd like to spend some time with real people with a real heart for God, we welcome you to visit us at Harvest Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Our Sunday morning services are held at 10:30, and our Family Night Fellowship takes place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come experience God's awesome, life-changing power as we worship in His presence, fellowship with one another, commit to discipleship, and share God's love through evangelism. For more information or directions, visit harvestnova.com. That's harvestnova.com.
John's Gospel, chapter 6. We'll begin reading with verse number 1. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs he had performed on the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up, "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will that go? How far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. The title of my message this morning is More Than Enough. More Than Enough. I want to draw attention specifically to phrases in verses 11, 12, and 13. We see phrases like, "as much as they wanted." All had enough, and reference in verse 13 to an amount left over by those who had eaten. More than enough. You know, back when COVID first hit, back almost a year ago now, do you remember the shortages of certain items in the grocery stores? It doesn't seem to have been the case lately too much, but boy, it was hard to get certain items. And I remember being amazed walking into grocery stores and seeing shelves that were empty. Remember that? And maybe that's still the place, still the case in some places, but I was just amazed. And I mean, you hear about that in you know, less fortunate countries. You don't think that'll be the case in America, but there was a shortage of supplies. There wasn't enough of certain supplies. And, you know, we have come to expect to have everything we need, especially in this country, everything available to us that we need. And when it wasn't, it was jarring. And, you know, that's true in a lot of areas, not only in reference to material goods, but in reference to a lot of things in life, to finances and to emotional and spiritual resources. And sometimes we go through a trial or we go through difficulties and we just don't know how we're going to face the next day. You ever been there? And you just feel like, man, my strength, my physical, my emotional, my spiritual strength is depleted. I don't know how to deal with what I have to deal with. We just feel like there's not enough of the resources we need. But as is revealed by this passage, I submit to you this morning that the Lord Jesus Christ is not only enough for what you and I need in every area of our lives, but he's more than enough. Because how many know it's our God's nature not just to barely supply enough of what we need, but our Lord supplies in measure that is overflowing. Have you experienced that? And that doesn't mean we don't go through hard times or we don't have to rely on faith for Him to provide something that we don't have at the moment. But ultimately, our God provides not in small, meager measure, but our God provides in fullness to overflowing. Aren't you thankful for that? And so this morning, I want to answer the question from this passage in the next few minutes. How can we be confident that Jesus is always more than enough for us? In every area of life, material, physical, emotional, spiritual, relational, whatever area of life there could be a need, I believe we can be confident that Jesus is always more than enough. So how can we be confident of that? Well, first of all, we can be confident that He's more than enough because He knows what we need. He knows what we need. It says here in verse 5, when He looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward Him, He said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" Now, it tells us later on in the passage that there were 5,000 men there. That's just the men. Not counting their wives and their children. And some estimate that there could have been as many as 15,000 to 20,000 people there. How many know Jesus, when word got out that He was going to be someplace, a crowd gathered. people were drawn to Jesus. And He said to Philip, where are we going to buy bread for these? And it says He asked him that just to test him, because He already knew what He was going to do. And Philip answered, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite even. You know? Philip said, Jesus, your guess is as good as mine, in other words. But Jesus knew that it was late in the day, the crowd needed to eat. And I find it so reassuring. You know, we think of Jesus in spiritual terms, and of course we should, but He is just as concerned about our physical needs as He is about our spiritual needs. Aren't you thankful for that? And it says in Mark 4:34, a parallel passage, that Jesus, speaking of the crowd, Jesus had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. You know, sometimes we go through trials and we have needs and it feels like, you know, nobody knows what we need. And sometimes, even as Christians, sometimes we pray and we say to God, God, don't you know I have a need? I referenced last week Jesus sleeping in the boat during the storm. And His disciples saying, Master, don't you care that we perish? Master, aren't you aware of my need? Aren't you aware of the lack that I'm experiencing? I'm here to tell you, He's always aware. And as He said to Philip, where are we going to buy enough bread? It says He knew already what He was going to do. Not only does He know what our need is, but He already knows what He's going to do about it. I remember about 7 years ago now, we have a finished basement in our home. And our basement over the years since we've lived there, next month we've lived there about 22 years, our basement has been flooded in about every way it can be. You know, and some of you have been through that, and you know that. And it's bad enough when it's an unfinished basement. When it's finished, you know, and you have carpeting and stuff, that's pretty upsetting. We've had hot water heaters overflow. We've had, severed downspouts to cause leaks come into the house, and the last time all that was fixed, it was just, we had severe floods in 2014. It was just overwhelmed, and came home to find, on a Wednesday night after Bible study, came home 9:30 in the evening to find about 2 or 3 inches of water covering my whole basement, and it was upsetting, and so made up my mind, we're going to, I don't care what it costs, we're going to get this fixed. So we engaged the services of a waterproofing company that had been recommended to us. And I remember the guy coming out and, you know, seeing the situation. And I was just, I shouldn't have been, but I was just amazed because he knew exactly what to do. He looked the property over, and we need to put in a French drain and dig up a portion of the basement, the back wall and part of the side wall, and do this on the outside, put drains on the two windows that were areas were being flooded. And he knew exactly what to do. And we engaged our services. We spent several thousand dollars. And, you know, you spend that kind of money, your fingers are kind of crossed. I hope they know what they're doing. But, you know, we haven't had 7 years ago this year, we haven't had a drop of water in our basement since. And, it pays to do research, you know. And I was amazed. And so I've had opportunities since then to refer a couple people. And the company's up in Maryland. I say, hey, man, don't get a local company. Get this company in Maryland. They'll do great. But it was just, he just surveyed the situation, and he knew exactly what we needed, exactly the steps to take. And shouldn't have been surprised. They're experts in that field, but, you know, you have a company, you never know. But they knew exactly what we needed. But, you know, the Lord Jesus can survey any type of situation in our lives and know exactly what we need. Because he is an expert in every field. Aren't you thankful for that? Our Lord, whatever your area of need is, he is the expert. He is the one to go to. He is the one who knows exactly what you need. He knows about your financial need. Peter, he knows about your need for a job, and he has one for you at the right time. He knows that you need healing for your body. He knows that there's a relationship that needs to be repaired. He knows that you need emotional or spiritual healing. Whatever your need is, he is aware of your need. And there is no problem too big for him. You know, you call some contractors and you say, this is my problem. They say, oh, we can't handle that. You need a bigger company. Jesus never says that, amen? Amen? He knows what you need. There is no problem too big for our God. I love what Corrie Ten Boom said. She said this. She said, there is no panic in heaven, only plans. Don't you love that? Because things happen in our life. We deal with shortages. We deal with difficulties and problems. And what do? Sometimes we panic, don't we? I'd love to stand up here and tell you I've never panicked in my life. I don't consider myself given over to excessive panic, but I have my moments. Anybody here ever have your moments? Sure we do. There's no panic in heaven, only plans. As Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Hallelujah. Just as he knew what he would do in this situation, he knows what needs to be done and what he will do in your situation. You can trust in him because he knows what we need. We can have confidence that he's more than enough for us because he knows what we need. Secondly, this morning, we can be confident that he's always more than enough for us because he does a lot with a little. He does a lot with a little. As Andrew brought this young boy to Jesus, he had a sack lunch. And the lunch consisted of 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. Now, we need to understand this was not 5 loaves of Wonder Bread, which even that wouldn't have been enough in a crowd of, you know, 15 to 20,000 people. These were 5 little small barley loaves, little tiny. And the fish were probably little pickled fish. Think sardines or something like that, okay? They weren't trout. Somebody said it was barely enough lunch for a growing boy, let alone a crowd of thousands. Or think of a McDonald's Happy Meal, okay? You're talking about a small amount of food, and so Andrew brings him. Now you got to give Andrew credit. Andrew didn't understand how this little bit of food could feed this many people, but at least he brought the boy to Jesus. You see, and that's the key. Is we have our own little meager resources, don't we? Our meager financial resources, our meager talent and ability. And we say, you know, we see other people being used by God. We say, yeah, I don't have much to offer. We're like that boy with his little tiny lunch. You know, I don't. But we need to at least be like Andrew. Say, Lord, here it is. You know, I don't know what you can do with it, but here it is. And we would see that Jesus would do a lot with a little. He would take care of the needs of that crowd with that little insignificant amount. This morning, you may feel insignificant. You may feel like you don't have much to offer. But will you just do this? Will you just offer it to Jesus? Just say, Lord, here I am. Here's what I have. Here's my talent, such as it is, or lack of talent, lack of ability. But Lord, I give it to you. Because he can take a little bit and make a lot out of it. Remember what he said in one place? He said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can have great things done. Mustard seeds was a little tiny seed, but it could do a lot. All of us have heard of the jewel of the White Star Line, the Titanic, which was completed in 1912. Anybody ever heard of the Titanic? Of course you have. It was the marvel of its age. At nearly 883 feet in length, it was longer than the tallest structures on the earth at the time. Over 1,800 people left England on that unsinkable ship on its maiden voyage in April 1912, but only 675 people survived. After the Titanic struck an iceberg, it took just 2 hours and 40 minutes to sink. And we know the story of the Titanic. But while the Titanic was sinking in the North Atlantic, another ship was being built. It was called the SS Medina. It was not nearly as large or as grand as Titanic, only 410 feet long, less than half its length. It made no claim to being unsinkable. For years, it carried onions between New York and Texas. That sounds really important, doesn't it? During World War II, it was converted to a troop ship and carried soldiers across the ocean. Well, that's a little more important. But on one crossing, it was the only vessel in its convoy to reach its destination. After the war, the Medina was sold as scrap, but it was rescued and then converted into an Italian cruise liner called the Roma. Years later, it again was sold for scrap, but it was rescued again to become the MV Doulos. The Doulos is the Greek word for servant. For many years, the Doulos held the record as the oldest active passenger ship in the world. Since 1978, she had welcomed over 20 million visitors in 450 ports in 90 nations. Many lives have been changed and countless have come to Christ through it. It was used by a Christian ministry. It was finally decommissioned in 2009, more than 95 years after being built, and as of recent days was still being used, having been converted to a luxury hotel. So I ask you, what became more useful, this grand Titanic, the marvel of the age, this big, seemingly unsinkable ship, or the unheralded Medina? And it's the latter. And you see, that's an illustration of what God does. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, God doesn't use the wise or the great things of this world as man considers greatness. He takes the little things, the insignificant things, the small things, the seemingly unimportant things in life, and does great things with them. Isn't that awesome? He uses the little things. Jesus took the boy's lunch and here in John 6 and transformed it and used it for his purposes, just like that insignificant ship, the Medina, was taken and used for noble purposes. God is in the habit of using what man calls insignificant. Remember Mary and her ointment? that she poured out on Jesus' feet. Jesus said that was a significant act that people would remember for ages to come. Remember a little boy named David? It was a little old sling as he went out to face a giant. God used that little sling and those smooth little stones to bring forth a mighty victory that day. God uses seemingly insignificant things. God uses seemingly insignificant people for His glory. Amen? Amen? You may feel insignificant. You may feel like your resources are meager. But will you do this like that boy with his little lunch? Will you take it and present it to Jesus and say, Lord, here I am. Many of you have done this. Here I am. Here are my meager resources, my meager talent, my meager financial resources, my meager connections, my seemingly meager significance. I take it and I bring it to you. I lay it at your feet. Do what you will with it. And can I tell you, the history of Christendom is full of stories of people and resources that were seemingly insignificant that were used of Almighty God for His great purposes. Never forget, church. Never forget that He does a lot with a little. So because of that, we can know that He's more than enough for us. Not only can we know that because He knows what we need and He does a lot with a little, but thirdly, because He responds to obedient faith. He responds to obedient faith. Jesus said, have the people sit down. It says there was plenty of grass in that place, so they all sat down. And He began to break the loaves and the bread and the fish. And you know, that was an act of faith. The disciples and the people sat down. How many know when you have 15 to 20,000 people and they're hungry and you say, sit down, dinner's coming, you're creating an expectation. You better deliver. If I said to you right now, outside of the sanctuary here in the lobby, we have a gourmet meal waiting for all of you. Boy, that would be exciting, wouldn't it? We don't. So don't get too excited. You have to wait till you get to McDonald's or wherever you're going today. But when you say something like that, if I said go and sit at the tables out there, you create an expectation. You better deliver. Jesus knew He could deliver. He said, have them sit down. And the scripture says that he prayed and He just began to break the bread and break the fish. And what happened? Suddenly there was more than 5 loaves and 2 fish. And there was more and more. Wouldn't you have loved to have been there? I would love to see, maybe there's been a movie made of that. I don't know. I would love to see that dramatized. Man. And can you see the eyes of the disciples? I mean, their eyes had to get big. Look, there's more. And get some more baskets, there's more. And start passing it out. And he passed it, and thousands were fed. This was just not just unexpected. This was just not, wow, that's pretty good. This was incomprehensible. I mean, this was, if you told somebody this happened as an eyewitness, they'd never believe it. And yet it happened. And the food was multiplied and everyone was full. And there wasn't just barely enough. We said our title today is more than enough. There were 12 baskets left over. I mean, that's just who God is. You know, He said in Malachi, if you'll be faithful in giving the tithe, He said, I'll throw open the windows of heaven, pour out a blessing you can't even contain. It's going to overflow. There's going to be more than enough. And that's what He does. How many know what I'm talking about this morning? And so He responds to obedient faith. When you and I pray for needs, often God will tell us something we need to do as an act of faith. Remember the wedding at Cana in John chapter 2? They ran out of wine, a great social blunder, a faux pas, and they didn't know what to do. And Jesus said, pour water into the pitchers and then start to serve it. Come again? They're not expecting water. Pour water in. And what did they do? And they went to his mother, Mary. Mary said, well, hey, whatever he tells you, do it. And so they took the pitchers and began to serve it. And it was wine, and the people said it was better than the wine that had originally been served. It was top notch. But it took that act of faith. And Jesus performed a miracle. He responds to obedient faith. Many customers say that McDonald's soda tastes better than any other. Anybody like McDonald's Cokes and sodas? Nobody. Okay, two people. Okay. Well, a lot of people say that. And they ask, what makes the difference? Is it the special machines? Is it the slightly larger straw or the water filtration system? Perhaps the insulated and chilled tubes in the soda? Or this? This is interesting. The small amount of additional syrup that they put in the soda to compensate for the ice melting and diluting the sodas. Is it any of those things? Well, the answer is it's all of those things. McDonald's has spent astonishing amounts of time and financial resources perfecting their soda method so that it's consistent in all of their restaurants. But if you ask management, how did you come up with all these processes and things to make it the best and make it last the longest, they'll give you a very simple answer. They just follow the guidelines recommended by Coca-Cola. They read the directions. Can you imagine that? They followed the formula. They read the directions. And it works. And you know, we in our arrogant independence, we human beings, we just are determined sometimes to do things our own way, aren't we? We're determined to have our own needs met by our own hand and through our own methods and through our own techniques and our own manipulation. And the Word of God is clear. If we would just respond to Him in obedient faith, He will respond to us with the miracle that we need. Hallelujah. In his book, The Cost of Discipleship, the great Dietrich Bonhoeffer writes this. He said, only he who believes is obedient. And only he who is obedient believes. He responds to obedient faith. How many have had the Lord Jesus respond to obedient faith in your life? Yes, many of us. Conclusion this morning, and the rest of this chapter, Jesus, having in the beginning of the chapter ministered to their physical needs, he began to minister to their spiritual needs. Because as we said, he's the expert at every area. He ministers to all of our needs. We asked the question at the outset, how can we be confident that Jesus is always not just enough, not just barely enough, but more than enough for us? First, it's because he knows what we need. He's aware. Whatever your need is, body, soul, spirit, he's aware. Secondly, because he does a lot with a little bit. Just that little bit that we make available to him, he can do so much with it. And thirdly, we can be confident that he's more than enough because he responds to our obedient faith. One of the greatest signs of our faith is our obedience to him. What are you in need of this morning, church? Whether you're here in the sanctuary watching online, what are you in need of? Maybe you've tried to fulfill that need in the best way you know how. And that's a human thing. We do that. But I believe it always comes back to casting our care upon him because he cares for us. And he is more than enough for any and every need in your life.